I'll jump right into it, guys. I know we don't have a lot of time. It's already late in the day, right? Okay. I received 2 emails with questions. One was a letter from Gerda wanting my feedback. And another one was an email from Tavi saying with some questions. And I'd also like us to discuss the letter that, because we discussed her letter the last time we were here, and I agreed that we're going to work on it offline and then we'll bring it back here. So we've got that to share with you guys and get your input on. That's about it. And then I guess other questions will come from you guys right now on the call. Or if for whatever reason, if I missed your email, if you send me an email and I didn't mention it, by all means, this is your opportunity to bring that to my attention so that we can also add it to the questions we already have. So did anyone on the call right now send me questions that I did not mention? So if that's you, just unmute yourself and remind me. I've got my email right here in front of me. I will just do a quick search and I'll try to find the email that you sent me. Anybody? Nobody. Okay, nobody sent me an email. So we've got those 2. Got an email from Gerda, got another email from Tavi Singh. Okay, great. Gerda, can you unmute yourself? I've got your email open right here in front of me. I'd like us to look at it together and talk about it. Can you hear me, Gerda? Or can you guys hear me? I hope I'm not talking to myself.
Sorry, right. Hi, Sia. I can, yes.
Great. Welcome.
Thanks.
All righty. I've got your email. So please stay unmuted. I'd like you to be on, on live. Brilliant. Sure. Okay. I've got your email here. Can you just tell me a bit about it, just so that I can understand the context of the email?
Okay, so this is an email to ask for partnership and to actually get sponsors for ECD centers. I did send you an email for this person before, which was much longer and not so personal. So I've changed it around a lot. So I just wanted to have your thoughts on it.
I can see, this is different to any email you sent me before. I guess that's why I was confused. I was like, this must be something new or another person. So who's this uncle?
This uncle is a DJ, a radio DJ. Okay. So he's on his show. He's got, he shows 4 to 6 of the evenings. So on your drive home, and he talks a lot to kids. So yeah, that's where it comes from.
Okay, cool. And he's called Uncle who?
Uncle Fresh.
Uncle Fresh. Mm. All right. Is this Fresh from 9?
That's him, yeah. Yep.
Okay, cool. All right. So let me read the email, because I'm sure everybody's like, what's this about the uncle? Let me just read it just to bring them into the conversation. Okay. Alrighty. Dear Uncle Fresh, I think we'll go there like that. Uncle Fresh, we need your help. I've always been a great fan of your work and I love listening to Kids Vice. It's Kids Vice, right?
Yes.
Or Vice. How do you
Vice.
I don't know.
Kids Vice.
Vice. Okay.
Kids it's Vice. Like short for advice. So yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay, cool. Uh-huh. I've always been a great fan of your work and I love listening to Kids Vice on my drive home. So from one uncle to another, how about helping not only one ECD teacher, but many? With partnership and training already in place, your charismatic public personality on radio will ensure many more sponsors to come on board. The vision is to have fully equipped ECD centers with professionally trained ECD teachers all over the country. I stand ready to discuss this with you in more detail. Hope to hear from you soon. All right, cool. Straight to the point. My initial take. Fortunately, because it's short, I've been a great fan of your work. He hears that all the time. It's like everybody who listens to his show says the same thing. So it kind of he's used to it. It doesn't do anything to him. It's like, oh, I love your work. Because when we meet him in the shopping center or mall, we say that, yep, all of us, right? So okay. So I would be more specific. Yeah, I would talk about a show. I know that your kids are grown, but I don't know if there's anyone in your family who his advice kind of applies to, maybe grandkids or nephews or nieces, that kind of thing. So I would kind of refer, it doesn't have to be that you have a child within the family, but I would refer to a specific show that you kind of were listening to that kind of touched you. Specifics matter, you know, because people like this who have got so much influence, they actually do like to know that they've had an impact, not in a general sense, but they like specifics. So I'd be specific. I remember listening to this show and this is what you said. Just by starting like that, you've engaged him. Now he's going to think, oh, I remember that show. The moment he says that, whether he says it in mind, now he wants to read the rest of the email. So I would start by being a bit more specific rather than giving him a broad compliment, because that's what he hears all the time. So I'd start there. And then I like the from one uncle to another. How about helping not only one ECD teacher, but many? Okay. I think I'm okay with that. I like the first part of that sentence. So from one uncle to another. I like that start, because it's very personal. It's very, hey, you know, we are on the same side here type thing. Okay. The part about introducing ECDs, I don't know what, if as part of his show, or if you know for sure that he's got interest in supporting ECDs, that kind of thing.
Yes.
So he does.
Yes, I think what I need to do is I really listened to a show where he helped an ECD center teacher to get sponsorship to finish her diploma. And that's where it started from. So I will definitely go back to that show, definitely. And that's where the ECD thought came from.
Great. You see, with that bit of information, it's interesting, you know, when you've got facts, they change everything. Because now, with that bit of information, how do you use that? There are two ways to use that information. One, in my view, is the right way. Another one is the wrong way. Let's start with the wrong way. So the wrong way is he helped an ECD teacher. When people do that publicly, when people help somebody publicly, they secretly fear that other people will come asking for the same thing. Does that make sense?
It does, yes.
So they have this secret fear that, you know, I'm really helping this person because I really want to help them. But now I'm hoping I'm not sending a message that I'm the go-to person for this kind of help. So the wrong way to go about it would be to be fair to you, which you did not do. But the wrong way would be to go to him and say, hey, you helped that teacher. I think you can help other teachers. Now that's like saying you didn't, basically it's almost like saying you didn't do enough. Yeah, we see what you did there, but it wasn't enough. You can do more. I don't know if that makes sense.
Okay.
So that's the wrong way of approaching it. But what would be the right way? So the right way of approaching it would be to if it's true, would be to compliment and say, you know, when I was listening to you helping this person, it really inspired me. And as a result of what you did, I decided to do X, Y, and Z. Meaning, as a result of what you did, I decided, it got me thinking, what more can we do to help ECD teachers and ECDs across the board? And I've got some ideas that I've drafted, you know. So you started like that, meaning that you are already doing something about it. And you're doing this partly because you were inspired by him. When somebody hears that, that's a compliment. Now it says, oh, wow. The thing that I did without, I was just helping that teacher out of the goodness of my heart. I didn't know that I would inspire somebody else to do something, you know. So that's the right way of using that, of referencing that. And then we go to the ask, you know. So let's continue looking at the email. With partnership and training already in place, your current marketing, this also could backfire, where you say your charismatic public personality on radio would ensure many more sponsors to come on board. Without context, without him knowing what this is about, what sponsors are needed for, it may come across as somebody wanting to exploit his fame. You know, he has somebody wanting to use my platform, my radio platform, and also use my fame to get sponsorship. Because at this stage, he doesn't know what the project is, what the project is about. So I would leave that whole line completely. After I've talked about that episode where he helped this teacher and how it inspired me to do what I'm doing, I wouldn't mention anything about sponsors. But where I would go, I would, I'm trying to think now of the best way to go about it. Because normally my kind of go-to kind of approach when it comes to these types of things is going for ideas, you know, when you sell ideas. I find that when you approach people and your ask revolves around, let's say, their input on your ideas, that's not a big ask. So they tend to be open to giving you time. But this guy's on radio. He gets a lot of requests, you know, from people who want to meet him, you know, like a lot of fans. So he's used to saying no to things. He's used to getting people asking him for stuff, and he's used to, his standard response is no. So now we really want to go to his heart. We want to go to the man, not the personality, not the rate, not the famous person. We want to go to the father, you know, because he's a father, he's got kids. So we want to go there. So I need to give this one some thought, Khalda. Maybe we will have to discuss it some more once I've really digested it myself, now that I know that who we're talking about and what the context is. So the whole thing about his personality and sponsors, I would leave it for now. I would leave that for the meeting. I would actually leave it for the meeting that I would have prepared for. Fortunately, this week I'm preparing you guys for the meetings. So I would leave it for that meeting, and I would want him to, I would kind of drive the meeting so that he's the one who brings up, you know, sponsors. Because if he agrees to meet, it means, geez, he's really interested in this. And I think we need that hook. We need to find a hook that's going to get him interested to talk to you. Because then during that conversation, that's when you can talk about what you need to make this a reality. And then hear what he says, rather than putting him in there. Because he may feel a bit cornered when we say using his public personality on radio and, you know, to get sponsors. That's a bit too direct. So, you know, even after you've done all the right things, that's still a bit cornering. So
that's fine.
Then the whole thing about the vision is to have fully, I like that, because that's where it speaks about your idea, what you've got, and all that. So that would go above, obviously, we're removing that line completely, the one about sponsors. So that goes up. And then, but I think we can do a bit of work on it and see how we can catch Uncle Fresh to to want to engage on this one.
Okay, great. I will work on it a bit as well, and then I'll contact you during the week. Thank you so much.
Please do. And do send me a WhatsApp. Even if you've reached out maybe to Chantel, just drop me a WhatsApp just in case. I know we've been quite overwhelmed with mails this past couple of days. So I don't want this to be delayed because maybe Chantel didn't pick it up. So just drop me a text, and then you and I we'll find time to work on this so that we can get it ready by end of this week.
Sure. Thank you so much. I will do that. Thanks.
All righty. Thank you. Thank you, Khaida. All righty. We move right along. Oh, before we do that, why don't you guys also, Glenn, you had your hand up. I think let me bring you in. While I'm bringing you in, let me pose a question to the group. The question is this. You've heard what Khaida and I were discussing regarding that email. You guys, I know you guys are very smart in this group. And I'm saying that because I genuinely mean it, by the way, in case you think I'm playing, I'm not. I'd love to hear your take as well. If you could just add your thoughts on this before Khaida and I work on this again. Love to hear your input on this. Because some of you may say, actually, Fresh is my cousin. I know him well. Who knows, right? But seriously though, even if, of course, Fresh is not your cousin, but I'd love to just get your input on this thing that we're discussing, because we would appreciate, Khaida and I would really appreciate your input. Thank you. So Glenn, Khaida, you are still on the line. Did you want to say something?
No, sorry, I'm going to mute myself.
Oh, okay, no problem. Glenn, you had your hand up. So can you unmute yourself so we can hear your thought? Can you hear me, Glenn? Okay, there you are. Are you there? Your mic is unmuted, but I can't hear anything from your side. It's quiet, quiet, quiet on this side. There might be an issue with your microphone because I can't hear you at all. It's radio silent on this side. Okay. Look, maybe try sort out your mic. You know, jump in anytime when you can. Try work on it. The moment I hear something coming from your side, I'll stop and then I'll give you stay unmuted, I would say, because that's the only way we will know if your mic is working. So stay unmuted and keep trying to figure out whatever the issue might be. I'll know when your mic is working because I'll hear you, and then I'll stop what I'm doing and I'll come across to you. Right, so in the meantime, guys, we shall move right along to Ntabi Seng's questions and Ntabi Seng's email, which I've already sent a copy to her. So I'll bring her on. Hey, Ntabi Seng, if you could unmute yourself.
Yes, welcome. Hi, yeah. Hello, everyone.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. And how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. No load shedding today, so.
Yes.
So it's all good. It's all good. All righty. I'm just pulling out your email from Friday.
Yes.
I've got it right here. Got it right here. So let's start with that. So we'll start with your questions. And then after the questions, we will go to that email that we were working on together. Cool.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
So you sent me two questions. The first question is, please could you explain END again on the co-PED or co-PED or coped? I still don't know how to pronounce my own framework. I am not sure if I follow. Right. Good question. So, and then let me read the second one, just in case somebody wants to give it some thought as well. Okay, there's really not much thought to go into the second one. I'm not sure if I understand what is required on question one of week five exercise. Okay, so it's basically this, the second one is really about clarity. Why don't we start with that? Actually, let's just start with question once because it's really quick and easy to answer. So what was the question for that? Let me read it because I've got it right here in front of me.
Okay.
Question one of week five is complete these. And then number one, top 20 questions. Okay. I can understand why that could be confusing because it's like, what top 20 questions? Because
yeah, I was wondering.
let me answer you. So what I said was that there are people who still haven't submitted their, remember from week one, those that list of 20? So yeah. That's basically what I'm referring to here. It's basically people who have not completed that exercise. Because we are coming to the end of this phase of the program, I want to make sure that I've got everybody's questions so that I can go back and kind of do a checklist, if you like, to make sure that the program has kind of answered all their pressing questions. So that's basically it. That's all I was asking for, to say if anyone in the group has not.
Oh, it's an if.
Yes, because some people have already submitted all their questions. So it's basically for those people who have not completed their questions to just please complete them because it's easy to forget. I mean, it was week one or when we did that. Just complete that and submit it because I will need it just to tick off that we've answered some of your most pressing questions. So that's basically it, really. That's my answer to your second question. Is it clear now?
Yes, it is clear. I'll just double check as well that I've been... Is it supposed to be 20 or any questions that we may have?
It any number, to be honest, any number of questions. Okay. I just had to make it a slightly big number, but a small number still. You know, 20, because after the first, because a lot of people will do like 5, 6, and then they run out of questions. And I've learned that the best questions or the best ideas are the ideas that come up after you have written down all those that are jumping at you because they are top of mind. When you start thinking deeply, that's where some of the best questions start to really come. That's why I said 20, because I knew it's a bit of a stretch and I think a few people will have to push themselves to come up with more questions. So that's, okay. That was just the whole thinking around it.
Okay.
And then I noted that somebody sent me, there's something on the chat. I'll tackle that as soon as I'm done here with Ntabi saying. So we'll look at that. I've noted it. Now, let's come to then your first question, where you were asking me to explain E and D in the coped method. All right. So let's just to recap in case people forgot. So last week I introduced a conversational framework for a meeting. Where I said, now you've got a meeting scheduled, now what? You know, because that's a really big question. Like, now what do I do? The company said, let's meet and talk about my idea. Now what do I do? So what I then did last week, I introduced you guys to this framework, which is a conversational framework that I recommend for meetings, particularly with partners. It will be different. It will be, if this was a sales meeting, I have a different framework for that, but this is not a sales meeting. This is a partnership meeting. So this framework is specifically for partnerships. So the CO obviously is context, which is probably one word I've used almost every day in this program. Context, context, context. Right. Then the second, the P is problem opportunity gap or problem opportunity link. And then the next thing I said, the E is exploring options. And then I said co-creation. And then the D is decision. Okay. So let me explain then the E and the D. So just to get to the E. So the context is basically when you arrive in the meeting and you say, you remind them why you are here by referencing the very thing that was the context of your email, because they agreed to this meeting because there was that context in the email and your ask was very clear what you wanted to discuss. So they said, yes, let's meet and talk. So you start with that context, just a bit of background, quick. It doesn't really take a long time. Then the second part is really the biggest building block of the meeting, the problem opportunity gap, because this is really where you guys are starting to agree. Either you reached out to them because there's a problem you've identified, or there's a problem that they spoke about, or there's an opportunity that that is there. For instance, if you use what I just discussed with Gerda right now, the problem in that context of her email that we were talking about just now is that ECD centers need help, and ECD teachers need help as well. So how can we help them? So she's reaching out to, you know, these big personalities and maybe some companies to say, I've got some ideas where we could join forces and help these people. Here's a problem. Me and you guys, we can join forces to solve that problem to benefit those people. So that's what the problem, the P is all about. Just all of us in the room agreeing that there is a problem and this is the nature of the problem. And once you've satisfied yourself following what I'm teaching this week. So when you go to your week six lesson, I'm kind of breaking this down. Once you've satisfied yourself that this has been exhausted properly, all the key things are covered around the problem and the opportunity of this, then it becomes a case of, okay, so what are the best ways? This is now what you would call maybe brainstorming, if you like, in a kind of different way, because what it is that it's almost like someone saying, okay, now that we know what the problem is, what do we do about it, right? Mm-hmm. So this is where we explore ideas. What you will find is that in corporate, if you've got more than one person in the room, some people will start, you know, chipping in, oh, you know what we can do? We can do this. So that's why I say co-creation. This is where you don't jump to just say, this is what I want to solve this problem. Please give me this. You're kind of become part of this team now. We co-create. The reason we go the co-creation route is simple, because people will always support things that we're part of creating. So before you even advance your own ideas in terms of how this problem can be solved, you can ask them for their thoughts on what they think could be done. And then that's when some people will start coming up with ideas. Then it becomes kind of that, again, I'm using the word brainstorming kind of very loosely here, but I want to create an idea that you're not presenting. That's what I'm trying to move away from. I don't want this thing of you are the only one talking because you're presenting. They need to be talking. At this stage, they're already talking because you've already started them with questions, which again are covered in week six. So once you go through today, this week's lesson, a lot of this will actually make sense. So that's really that E, what E is about. Mm-hmm. It's about coming up with solutions, exploring various options on how we could move forward together. I don't want to just say come up with solutions, because in some cases, it's just a case of how do we move forward together? How do we work together to address that problem? Mm-hmm. Bring any clarity to this, to the E at least?
Yes, it does, because I was wondering, how do I rope them into the discussion so that they feel as if we are co-creating? And now that you're saying in lesson six, week six, we're going to be delving deeper into how we do that, it makes perfect sense.
Awesome. And again, to all of you guys, we'll have another Q&A for week six on Friday. So go through it, write down your question so that we could unpack this topic even more on Friday. So that's that on E. And then the D is basically a decision. If you look at it this way, we've addressed one, let's start with the context again. We all understand the context of the meeting. They invited me, I'm here, which means, you know, they're curious, or at least they're interested, or at least curious about what I have. And then we spoke about the problem and the opportunity. We explored options together. Now it becomes a case of, okay, now where do we go from here? That's literally what the decision is. It's a case of saying, okay, now that we've got all of these options in front of us, what would you guys want to do? Again, I do cover it in week six. So like the wording around the decision, because the decision is really simple. You don't have much to say there, because the possibilities and the options have already been discussed. Now you literally, yours is to listen at this stage. They need to tell you where to from here. Okay. So that's more their work, but you lead them there. Again, we covered that this week. So we will delve deep on it on Friday through the Q&As, through the questions that you guys will send. Is that
correct? It makes perfect sense, yes.
Awesome, thank you. Yes, shall we jump to your email while I still have you on the call?
Correct. That email is something else, hey? How you wrote it, it's quite something else. I just love it. I just love it.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you like it. Like I said to you on WhatsApp, it took a few drafts. You know, it's like everything. I think what I want to emphasize is that it's like everything in life that I may be here teaching you guys this stuff. It's easy maybe for someone to think, you know, these things come naturally to me. He's almost like an athlete. He still goes to training. He still tries new things. So with these emails, I actually take a lot of time thinking deeply about them, drafting them, redrafting them, scrapping out pages and starting afresh on a blank page. So it was the same here. It was actually not easy. I had to redraft it several times. So I'm saying that because if you find yourself doing that as you write your emails, it's not just because maybe you are new to this way of writing emails. It's just the way it is. You know, it's almost like authors when they write books, you know, people tend to think it's easy. It's not. They sit there for hours, write halfway through the book. They think this idea is not going to work. They scrap the whole novel and start again. So in fact, in week 6, I talk about mastery. There are part 1 and part 2. You're probably wondering, what is this other thing about mastery? Please go watch that video. It's not me there. It's a video I picked up from YouTube because it's about one of my favorite authors, a guy called George Learned, who wrote a book called Mastery. So they talk, it's basically artists and entrepreneurs just talking about what it takes to achieve mastery. And that's my vision and goal for us in the program. Imagine if we could achieve a level of mastery when it comes to doing these corporate partnerships. That's really my dream for you guys, to really take this so seriously and to practice this like it's your craft, to a point where it becomes second nature to you to do partnerships. You will never need anything. Once you master this, any project you have, you literally just say, how do I put together a partnership deal around this? So whenever I start companies, I don't even think about finding funding or investors or getting loans. I just look for partners. And I look for partners on my terms. Because sometimes when we say we're looking for partners, we worry because we think, oh, what are they going to want from me? They never get anything like shares in the business or anything of the sort. They just get what makes sense to them. And I get what makes sense to me, and both sides are happy. But you know, you already know that anyway. So anyway, let's go into the email then that I rewrote for you, Ntabi Singh. I'm just going to read it out for obviously for everyone on the call to hear it. So I decided to call this person Jeremy. I don't know why, but anyway. So I said, "Dear Jeremy." Since your LinkedIn profile states that you welcome new ideas, I thought I'd share this one with you. I just went straight for it. Because again, I took this from your email because you said, hey, in your LinkedIn profile, you say you welcome new ideas. So I took this from there. And then the next thing I said is this. When I lost a very close family member, there were many times when I wished my funeral insurance company could offer a little more than just money by providing other forms of support. This feeling stayed with me for months or years. I wasn't sure which one it is for you, so we'll have to choose.
So we'll say
this feeling stayed with me for years following my loss. Let me read the whole thing and then I'll unpack it. And then continues. During my 18-year corporate career, most of which was in employee wellness and support services, and I put question marks there because I feel that I needed some input from you just to get that whole thing correct.
Human resources space. Okay, I'll come back
to that. Yes. Okay. And then I continued. Okay, let me read that line again one more time. Sorry, guys. During my 18-year corporate career, most of which was in employee wellness and support services, I've learned what good support can do to positively impact the life of a grieving person. Backed by this experience, I've compiled a few ideas that I believe funeral insurance products like yours may consider incorporating. These ideas could result in grieving families feeling really supported, and your organization would also see measurable positive gains on the bottom line. I'd love to share my thoughts with you if you'd be open to have a socially distanced, and I put that in inverted commas, a socially distanced conversation. Would you be open to have a Zoom call sometime next week? How does Thursday at 12 noon look for you? Regards. So let's now look at the email. Okay, so I started the email with the LinkedIn connection, because this person on LinkedIn, they say they welcome new ideas. Now I'm saying to them, this is our point of connection, basically. I've looked at your LinkedIn, chances are we are friends, which I would recommend, by the way, that you reach out to him and make him a connection before you send out this email, so that he can, because he's probably going to check, is this my connection? And he'll find that you are. And by the way, this could still be sent on LinkedIn as well. So there's nothing wrong with you sending this via LinkedIn if you want.
Okay, perfect.
You could send this message via LinkedIn, sure. And then when I lost a very close family member, there were many times when I wished my funeral insurance company could offer a little more than just money by providing other forms of support. This feeling stayed with me for years following my loss. What am I doing here? Basically, after I told him that I've got an idea to share with him, there was no to kind of go around, beat around the bush, like go in circles, you know, talking, let's say, even talking about the pandemic and all of that stuff. Now we've primed him. He's waiting for the idea. He's like, oh, you've got an idea for me. What is it? Then I went straight with.
Hello. Oh, it looks like Sia is gone.